to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third and final hour. Winston, does it go by quickly or what?
It does, just like summer vacation when you're a kid.
Good point, and a good comparison. Welcome back to the final hour of tonight's live program, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards here, Winston Smith sitting to my right, and we're here at WLRM Studios, AM 1380, WLRM in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We were talking, beginning to segue, I should say, if I can find my notes here, into CPAC and who might the Republicans run. Is it going to be Huckabee? Is it going to be Buckwheat? Who's it going to be? All I can tell you is keep voting Republican. It is really paying off. We see such great differences when they're in office. They've taken control of Congress now, and you're just seeing all these great conservative measures just coming out of Washington left and right. It's outstanding, folks. And one of our faithful TPC listeners sent me an email last week, and we mentioned this briefly on last week's show, but he pointed out that George Bush's daughter, as good-looking as she is, and we're talking about Barbara Bush Jr., not George H.W. Bush's Barbara Bush. But anyway, she's endorsing homosexual marriage now. Laura Bush has already endorsed it. Dick Cheney was calling for it back in the 2004 campaign, even as Karl Rove was selling conservatives on the idea that if they went out one more time and reelected Bush, that he was going to make stopping homo marriage a top priority. So they went out and reelected Bush, all of these Christian voters, and he never again mentioned anything about a constitutional amendment to stop homosexual marriage, or any other measure for that matter. He built his 2004 campaign around his alleged opposition to gay marriage, but he didn't mean a word of it, and they never do. Palin doesn't mean a word of it, and none of them mean a word of it. They just are confident enough that they'll sucker enough good people into voting for them rather than looking for true opposition. The background of a 2008 graduation speech that George Bush gave at Furman University makes it perfectly clear. His speechwriter threw in a few lines about the sanctity of traditional marriage, and Bush told him to remove the lines. So anyway, this is what we're talking about, Winston, with all of these conservatives out there putting their faith in the Republican Party. And I know the lesser of two evils argument. We've been hearing that all of our lives. But here you got a man who one of his core planks in his platform was opposition to, you know, perverts getting married, and now everyone in his family, his daughter, his wife, his old man, all of his advice, they're all for it, and he was for it too. And this is something, how many times are the Republicans going to betray their constituents before their constituents wake up and realize that, hey, these people are fighting for us, maybe those guys over at the political cesspool are. These guys aren't. How long is it ever going to happen? I don't guess it is. It's been decades now.
Oh, James, what can you say? Conservatives are probably the dumbest people Republicans are probably the dumbest people in the political spectrum today. They will believe anything. They will believe as long as you can make it sound good, as long as you can make it sound poetic, as long as you can speak loud enough and with enough polish, they'll believe you. And then as soon as the candidates are elected, they forget all that. I mean, the Republican candidates are typical politicians. Obama has done the same thing. He is still backpedaling from accusations that he hasn't done enough to fulfill his promises. Well, folks, that's just the nature of politics. And if you want to keep voting Republicans, if you want to keep voting Republican, then be prepared to be ticked off every time, because they are not going to live up to what they say. They never will. They never have. That's just the way they are.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But the bottom line is, and we mentioned this earlier, Barbara Bush Jr., if you can call a female a junior, Bush's daughter, featured in a PSA stating she is for homosexual marriage. She joins her mother, her grandfather, Dick Cheney, all United Methodists. And this is, I'm reading now actually from an email that was sent to me, in support of such anti-family policy. Just one more example illustrating the phony left-right paradigm of American politics. And this is how intelligent our listeners are. I'm reading now, you know, again, as I say, from one of our listeners' emails to me. The so-called conservatives, the neocons, or anything but. Here they are making Obama look like the conservative one. The Republicans are indistinguishable from the Democrats on most issues and offer only token opposition on a few others. They all support a world globalist movement. None of them are friend of Christians or America First patriots. How much longer will we let our nation continue to fall? When will we wake up and realize that things have drastically changed and we need to think differently about our political situation and our involvement in it? Now, the lesser of two evils is still evil. And as evidenced here, can sometimes be even more evil. We shouldn't be voting for evil at all, but just for righteousness. Right. Political expediency has brought us to this place, and many naive Christians are to blame for helping us get there. The two major parties are wings connected to the same bird. That was a Pat Buchanan quote. And that bird is headed toward the destruction of our country and our way of life. Let's clip the wings of that bird and think independently for a change. Winston, you know, that was a paragraph that was sent to me by one of our listeners. It just goes to show, once again, the caliber of those in our audience.
Mm-hmm. Make that guy a co-host. James, I think I have the soon-to-be Republican nominee for president, and it's going to be Alan West. We all know who he is. He's the black Republican from Florida.
Don't discount Herman Cain.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's one, but I think Alan West is going to be the one. He's a black Republican. He's in the Army. What can you say? He's from Florida, Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army. He had a little problem with an investigation into some interrogation in Iraq. He's going to win it. It's all the rage these days to elect black presidents. So even the college that I went to, historically white, they decided not too long ago to install a black president. But then they also decided to install a lesbian chaplain, even though it's an all-male college. So what can you say?
I love that. The only thing I love more than that, you just mentioned it, lesbian chaplain. I love driving down the street and going by a church that has a lesbian minister. Now that's the best.
Oh, James, I think it was a couple of years ago when I went to Memphis City Hall there, and they were voting on an amendment to give I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was an amendment to give gays some extra protection, and they got it whittled down to. I know what it was. They wanted to give gays wanted special protection in the workplace. They wanted to be able do whatever they want.
Yeah, perverts can get it, but don't be a white Christian and go apply for a job. We'll be back.
We'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, another show going by far too quickly. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Got a gentleman on the line we're going to get to in just a moment, if not right now, depending on whether or not Winston has found a note he was looking for. Winston, did you find it?
I certainly did. When we went into that last break, I was blubbering like an idiot because I was trying to find an article on a meeting I attended back in August of 2010, and the Memphis City Council was voting on a amendment or a policy change to prohibit job discrimination by the city against gays and lesbians and transgender people. I was at that meeting, And I was amazed at how many lesbians were there, all sporting very manly haircuts and clerical collars. Everywhere I go, whenever you see a female reverend or a female minister, chances are they are going to be sporting a manly haircut, and they are going to be as flaming lesbian as you can see, as you can imagine. That's the way it goes, folks. We have the church has been infected by the most vile thing imaginable, and it's going to be tough to get them out. But you know, we plod on.
Well, it's an apostate church, not a true church. But what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
Nevertheless, you know, Winston, we've been talking off and on for the past 2 weeks. This is now our third week talking about the attack on the American Renaissance Conference. Actually had a young man by the name of Andrew call in last week with a report live from the scene as the shadow conference, if you will, was taking place. We have now on the line, and of course that was organized by Matt Parrott and Janelle Antis, two great young activists. They do a really good job up in Indiana, and they put together by all accounts, by all indications, everything I've heard, a great meeting for this Coalition of the Willing. And we have on the line now a gentleman who wrote about it. You can find his article on amren.com, and also I've seen it on Western Voices World News tonight.
Yep.
His name is Gerald, and he's going to share with us that which he experienced there in that, how would you describe it? Triumphant, woe begone, ill-fated?
Well, I have to say that I had no idea what I was going to walk into. When I walked into the conference room in Charlotte last week, I was determined I was going to meet with somebody, even if it was in a phone booth in the pouring rain, because I'd never been to an Ameren conference before, and I finally decided to go to this one, and then they canceled it on me. And then I found out that there was this guy named Matt Parrott who was working on putting together a shadow conference. So I thought, well, I'm going to give this guy a chance. I'm going to go to the conference and see if anything happens at all. So I walk into this room, and let me tell you, the only thing I was dreading about the original conference was I'd heard that everybody that goes to those things is old, like me. I'm 59. And I thought, well, I'm going to walk into a room. There's going to be a bunch of bald-headed, gray-haired men that look just like me. Well, I walk
you can't
into
be bald headed gray-haired at the same time.
Yeah, I'm bald, and the other guys are gray-headed. But
okay.
I walk into the conference room, and the first thing I see is Janelle Antis. And if you've ever seen her before, you know how beautiful she is. And you also know how young she is. And then I looked around, and there were about a dozen people in the room, and they were all young. They were all in their 20s or 30s. I was the oldest guy in the room by 10 years.
Now, did they take you in, being an elder statesman such as you are?
They welcomed me in, as I was. And I never, I didn't know any of them. Never been there, never been to an Ameren conference before. And they were welcoming, and in 5 minutes I felt at home. And I was discussing with Matt Parrott, how did you get involved in white activism? And he told me about how he'd read the Bell Curve years ago. And it had changed his outlook. And so we started telling these stories to each other about how we got there. And we were, hoping to get the live feed from the speakers who were at a separate location. Jared Taylor and the speakers were at a different conference site. And that didn't work. The bugs, I think it was just the technical bugs of trying to do this for the first time that caused that to break down. But Matt decided that some of us should, or some of the people there should go ahead and give presentations. And so we had a very interesting series of presentations, including one by Andrew, that guy that you mentioned called in last week.
Right.
He had a very, he's a very dynamic and inspiring leader, and he's from San Francisco. And, he came that far for this. So I was really charged up with a lot of energy because these young people were just full of energy and enthusiasm and optimism. It made me really glad that I went.
Well, and let me just add in here, of course, everyone is by now well familiar with everything that happened to the American Renaissance Conference and its cancellation. And as we mentioned last week, there was a get-together put on for those who would not be discouraged from attending. I know that well over 200 people were registered for the conference itself in its original state. And at the end of the day, a hastily put together alternative, and I say hastily, and that does not mean that it was not put together with every degree of professionalism that it possibly could be. It was put together quickly, but it was put together professionally. And at the end of the day, about roughly 10% of those who were originally planning to be at the official conference came to this alternative conference. And Gerald, you know, it should be mentioned, you just reminded us that Andrew came from San Francisco to Charlotte just to meet with people who would not be disenfranchised. But it wasn't like you drove from Rock Hill, South Carolina, you know, made the 30-minute commute to Charlotte. You hiked all the way from Texas to be there.
Well, you know, I really I would rather have stayed in the Ice Bowl of Dallas and gone to all those Super Bowl events. But, you know, something just drew me to Charlotte, and I had to get out of Dallas, and I'm really glad I came. And, you know, I really I want to stand up for Jared Taylor also because, you know, I got to say a few words for him because he's received some criticism because this is the second conference that's been sabotaged. But, you know, let's not forget that he's done more to rekindle white racial consciousness than anyone else in the last 20 years. And the reason that Ameren has become such a target in the last 3 or 4 years is because at these conferences, which he has been putting on for the last, you know, decade or so, have become so successful and so powerful and so visible as symbols of a rekindling of white racial identity that y'all were talking about earlier was more or less taken away from us, or we gave away back in the 60s, that it finally woke the left up a few years ago. They realized that they need to strangle this baby in the cradle before it crawls out and takes back the country. And that's what they're doing. That's why these attacks are so vicious. And, you know, unfortunately, they've been partially successful in the last few years. But they are terrified of Ameren, and they will do anything to stop Ameren. And I just want to stand up for Jared and Ameren and all the people that came. And I want to say a word to everybody who registered but didn't come. I wish you'd been there. I would have loved to have met you. And let's get together next year or whenever Jared can try and put on another conference.
Hey, Winston, hey, hold your thought. And, Gerald, I'd like to ask you to stay on the line through this commercial break. I want to ask you a couple of quick follow-up questions. And it's questions that I think are very encouraging in nature, and I think that your answers will be encouraging to all of those listening around the world tonight
in
our audience. So stay tuned, everybody. Got to take another commercial break. We'll be back with more on the Political Cesspool Radio program right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place.
If it's the last thing we ever... Gerald from Texas, who was an attendee of the Shadow Conference or the Dark Ages. What was it called? The Dark Ages Conference, Gerald?
It was called the American Dark Age Meetup.
There you go.
I think Matt...
Instead of the Renaissance, it's the Dark Ages. I get it.
Right. Well, that's what it looked like to us, you know, last week before we got there. I felt like a new Dark Age was coming in on us.
Winston, you know, I shouldn't admit this. I should not admit this. I never did draw the conclusion there. I got the Dark Ages, but I didn't contrast that against the Renaissance. That's clever. Yeah. Clever stuff, Matt Parrott.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the question I wanted to ask you, Gerald. I've been very fortunate over the course of my career hosting this show to have attended a lot of conferences, to speak at a lot of conferences. I've been to American Renaissance and many others. I know this was your first American Renaissance conference. If there's one thing that I enjoy most about these get-togethers, it's the camaraderie. It's the fellowship with the other people in the crowd. And it can be someone that you've never met before. And in often cases, that is exactly what it is. You're speaking with people. You're shaking hands with people you've never met before, never spoken with before. And there is a familial bond that is there from the beginning. It's almost like a brotherhood. Did you feel any of that?
That's why I went, James. I've read the writings of most of the speakers for decades, and I'm familiar with most of their writings, most of the arguments, and I would have been delighted to hear them, but what I needed to experience was camaraderie, and that's exactly what they had at the Shadow Conference. There was a great camaraderie. Within minutes, I was feeling a camaraderie and an energy that I haven't felt in years. There was so many, you know, there are people I haven't mentioned that want to remain private. There was a young woman from Wisconsin there who, you know, was very, just the kind of high-quality person that you hope to meet at a gathering like this. And there were other people who cycled in during the day that it just made you glad to see them and that they were glad to see you. There was one couple that came in for a couple of hours. They were not even registered at the conference, but the wife had been reading about the Knoxville Horror and the Wichita massacre, and it had alarmed
her. Oh, yeah.
And she had found that on Ameren, and that was the only place where she was getting some reliable news about these things, and she was so horrified by it that somehow she got in contact with somebody that knew about the Shadow Conference, and she came. And so she wasn't able to stay for a long time, but, you know, I'm hoping that we were able to, you know, raise her consciousness a little bit, and maybe she'll be, I think she's been reading Ameren just for a few weeks, but I think she's going to be reading it from now on.
I was really encouraged to see so many people still show up under so much adversity and meet together. And in some ways, you know, we hosted a similar conference in 2008, and we were able to pull off a much better alternative than that which Jared was able to do under the circumstances. And that's something I'm very proud of. But it was all the duress that we were under that made the actual meeting that much more enjoyable. And I'm sure that the circumstances, the unfortunate circumstances that everyone was faced with last week, made that meeting that you attended all the more enjoyable and all the more victorious. And I really appreciate you calling in tonight and sharing your thoughts and your assessment of what you witnessed with us.
Well, thanks for having me, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, I hope this isn't the last time. Stay tuned and let us know what we can do to be of further service.
Well, I sure will. Thanks a lot, and you're doing great work. You're part of a youth movement too, James, so you keep it up.
That's right. Not as young as I used to be, but certainly still young.
You're young enough,
I'm not going to pretend to be an old fogey at 30, mm-hmm. but
okay.
I was 19 when I first started this, so time rolls on. But thanks for calling in, Gerald, and we do appreciate it. Winston, another great caller.
Thank you. What was that, James?
I said another great caller.
Oh, a great call, because he was a great American, you know, and a truly a great American, not like that idiot on Fox News calls great Americans.
Yeah, every time I hear someone being called a great American, I think of that charlatan Hannity. I almost don't want to call anyone a great American, because then, you know, I begin to liken great American to neocon, you know, jumped up white trash.
Kind of get a Pavlovian reaction. James, I was reading Gerald's write-up there on at Western Voices World News and on Ameren, and he mentions something that I want to draw people's attention, and that's this publishing house called Lighthouse Literature. And I encourage you to go there, lighthouseliterature.com. Again, it's lighthouseliterature.com, and they sell books. One thing we cultural conservatives, we constitutional conservatives like, we like our books. Well, this is a bookseller, and the list of authors here reads like our guest list, James. They have a The categories are culture, fiction, history, lifestyle, philosophy, political, scientific. There's Mister by Alex Kurdjic. There's White Apocalypse by Kyle Bristow. There's John Derbyshire. Who else? Some idiot named James Edwards. This is a really fine book list here, and I encourage you to go there. The prices are really good, too.
Yeah, you know,
this is remarkable.
Janelle Antis administers Lighthouse Literature, and she was on the show few weeks back to promote the website right after it first launched. And obviously, Winston, as you just mentioned, she has great taste in books because she carries mine.
Well, I'll leave that to our listeners to decide. But once again, folks, just go to that website, www.lighthouseliterature.com. We need to support these kinds of things because heaven knows our enemies and our opponents, they are well supported in this way. James Gerald mentioned he was there writing about the Shadow Conference there, the Dark Age Conference. And I'd like to bring this up, thanks to our good friends there at the Council of Conservative Citizens. It has to do with the Sheraton Hotel chain. Those were the people who first booked the conference and then chickened out because of that racist mayor pro tem of Charlotte, Patrick Cannon, I think was his name. And make no mistake about it, but he is a flaming racist of the worst sort. I think he's trying to turn Charlotte into what Atlanta used to be. Maybe we can make a little war between Charlotte and Atlanta that way. Anyhow, Kyle Rogers posted this article on the Council of Conservative Citizens site, and it's the Sheraton Hotel chain, the same ones who weaseled out of their contract with Jared Taylor. They are now hosting in Bloomington, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They are hosting a conference called the White Privilege Conference. And we all know what that means. It's going to be a white hater conference. It's being sponsored by universities and college and groups that are openly far left and Marxist. Even the Minneapolis YWCA is a sponsor, far removed from the original goals of the YWCA. Another sponsor is the National Center for Race Amity. The front of their website contains a picture of Malcolm X. And this Malcolm X, if you don't remember, this man claimed that an evil wizard created white people and that white people have no souls. He said that Allah would burn America with fire and exterminate all white people in the near future. We also know that Malcolm X was a bisexual. He also was a homosexual prostitute before he joined the Nation of Islam. Now, the main organizer of this conference is a woman, Talmudic Zionist named Abby Farber, and she's a professor of women's and ethnic studies at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs. She's also a writer for the left-wing Huffington Post. She writes these crude diatribes for the Huffington Post, accusing white Americans of course, racism and homophobia. The article here by Kyle Rogers says that Farber sees nothing wrong with being a hardcore Jewish chauvinist. In the Huffington Post, she promotes chauvinist claims of Jewish moral superiority. She claims that liberal Jews specifically are morally superior over the rest of Americans. She says that white Christian Americans have failed to uphold the American ideals and that Jews must force them to make good on their promises. So this is what the Sheraton hotel chain is sponsoring and accommodating when they wouldn't accommodate a peaceful, legal assembly of white people who just wanted to talk about white people sticking together in the face of the abuse that we endure every day. So keep that in mind, folks. I do a lot of traveling for my job, and I will refuse to stay at any Sheraton family hotel in the future, and I encourage you to do the same.
Winston, hang on right there, buddy. Got to take a break. We're going to get to Lydia right after these words from our sponsors. Got another caller on the line. A very punchy episode of the Political Cesspool tonight. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's the final segment of tonight's show, my friends, if you can believe it. And before the sand falls from the hourglass, we're going to take one more call. And back to Florida we go. Lydia is on the line. Lydia, welcome to the show. Are you there, Lydia?
Hi, James. I really enjoy your show. And really quick, I know you're getting to the end of your program. I get so frustrated because I really try very hard to wake other white people up of really our peril. They don't realize that our race is the only race that is not protected under hate crime legislation. We do not have our First Amendment right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. And if I tried to tell anybody of our race, they kind of attack me. They go against me. People in my own family, you know, they say I'm crazy. You know, if I try to tell them who owns 96% of the media, you know, we have three of them on our Supreme Court. We have a massive lobby, the AIPAC lobby, that controls our entire government, yet this only represents 2% of our population. You know, they have quite a stranglehold over our country. They dictate all the policy, and they are the reason why we have open borders, but yet they say I'm racist, I'm crazy, I'm an anti-Semite, this can't be true. So, in a nutshell, what is the one book that you recommend me to maybe suggest to some of these people, because they don't believe me? I've read countless books, and some of them are, you know, pretty long, and, you know, I just want something simple in a nutshell right there. You know, I mean, look at all these different czars that we've got. I mean, most of them, you know, are belong to this group of people that I'm sure you know who I'm talking about, but you know, of course I'm anti-Semite for pointing that out.
Well, yeah, you're an anti-Semite for pointing it out, even though the people to which you refer brag about it in their own publications, and it's been well documented. And it's just an undeniable fact. I don't know why it's anti-Semitic to point out a fact that they have a disproportionate amount of control in government and media. But you bring up an interesting question. And you called in at the perfect time because we happen to have the political cesspool's resident literary giant on the line right now. A man who, I hate to admit it, is probably more well-read than even myself. Winston, she asked a great question. A short, succinct book that could serve as a tool to break the ice. There's a lot of books out there that come to mind for me. But what would you recommend to fit the bill for what she's looking for specifically?
Well, first of all, I want to say, Lydia, thank you for calling. I love your name. Would you happen to have been named for the Seller of Purple in Thyatira?
That is me.
Okay, well, that's a beautiful story. You know, she was the first convert, the first Christian convert in Europe. She opened Europe to Christianity.
Well, and one of the things about Christianity, too, that I struggle with, I'm trying to wake up Christians because they're so sure that these same people are the chosen ones that they don't believe me either, and that's another problem that I'm against.
They're supporting the very people who hate them. They hate our scriptures. They hate they hate our Lord. They hate everything about us. To answer your question, not to be comical or anything like that, I would suggest that you just get a hold of the book Racism Schmacism. The articles in there are short and to the point. They are written in James's charmingly acerbic style. I hate to sound like I'm just promoting a political.
That's what you sound like, but I like it.
Well, it's true. It's a good book for what you want. I could recommend others for that are more lengthy and more scholarly, but most people don't want that kind of writing. I would just suggest you get a hold of Racism Schmacism, and I'll tell you what, Lydia. Why don't you stay on through the when we get off the air, and I'll give you my email address, and you can email me, and I will send you a list of books. But in the immediate future, just lay hold of Racism Schmacism, and you can't go wrong there.
Okay, as long as it names those people that control our government, because most people don't seem to ever want to name who these people are. They'll say the Illuminati, they'll say the globalists, they'll say the offshore banks, but they won't say the J word.
Well, you know, it's hard to find books that you're going to be able to use as a segue to that question. That, you know, most of the books that deal with that hit very hard early, and I have no problem with that, but it tends to scare off the unwashed and the uninitiated. I would suggest Cultural Insurrections by Kevin McDonald. That is a great book.
That's a good one too. But you know, James.
But it's a tone. That's an epic. It's hard. You know, you give people Kevin McDonald's book. Such a great piece, and it's 500 pages, and these are people that are already in opposition to your thoughts to begin with, and it's just a lot for them to eat.
Exactly.
But yeah, we'll figure it out. Thanks for the call.
The brainwashed people—they're the hardest to convince.
Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the question.
Thanks
for listening.
Wait a minute, James. She's got to stay on so I can talk to her.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Stay on the line, and Winston will talk to you. After the show.
Nicole,
never mind, she's gone, Winston. If she's listening still to the show, call back, and Winston wants to talk to you after the show and get your email address. Or you can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and go to the contact page and email Winston, and one way or the other, y'all get reconnected. But that was a good question. Yeah. And, you know, and there is no inconsistency here in that which we espouse politically and that which we believe in spiritually. There is no problem with Christians being well-versed in the problems posed to us by radical Zionism. And, you know, she brings up a great point. You have a lot of these people today, these cafeteria Christians, who just aren't getting the full serving, the full course, and they're led astray on a very important issue. And it doesn't circumvent the faith for you to understand these truths. It doesn't make you, you know, this dispensationalism, this is 3 hours right here if you start getting into that.
Yeah.
But I do share her concerns with there's so many Christian congregants today who, if you mention that, you know, maybe Jews are liberal, and then they think that, you know, you can't get into heaven. And Winston, that's really almost the modern day belief system now in some of these mega churches.
Oh, it absolutely is, James, and that is what is destroying not just our country, but it destroying our people, and it's destroying our faith. This terrible theology that says we have to support people who hate us. These are the people whose representative scriptures say that our Lord is now in hell, boiling in excrement. They refer to the mother of our Lord as a whore. They refer to Jesus as the bastard son of a whore, and yet we are being told by lying pastors that these are the chosen people. And James, what we have experienced here is what has happened since Genesis chapter 3, for crying out loud. We have seen a great imposture take place. People who are not the chosen people have absconded with that title. They are not the chosen people. These are people who hate Jesus Christ.
Well,
go ahead, James.
Well, I was just going to say, Winston, while I have our illustrious board op in my ear, Lydia is back, and she'll be holding for you after the show. And Winston's right. You know, this is stuff that unfortunately some Jews subscribe to, and we always have to give out the obligatory disclaimer: not all Jews believe that, and not all Jews are part of the problem. And I think it's unfortunate that we have to issue that little caveat every time we speak of it, because so many people are so shocked to hear. But the bottom line is, you know, what's the problem with the group of Jews, the sect of radical Zionist left-wing Jews having so much power? It's that they are radical left-wing liberals, and that which they want for America runs contrary to that which white paleoconservatives would want for ourselves. And this is our country. This is the country that we founded. They can administer Israel any way they want, but we have a right to be offended when they are pushing this down our throats in America. And we have the right to speak out against it. And that's what we do on this radio program, and thank God that we have this this voice at this pulpit. Well, it's been a great show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank everybody who's been in the Political Cesspool chat tonight. We look forward to seeing you there next week. I will not be here next week. I am sorry. It's one of those rare occasions, one of those once-in-a-blue-moon occurrences. I'll be on the road next week.
All right.
Winston Smith will probably be here. I know Keith Alexander and Bill Rowland will be here. Brother Nathaniel Kapner. Now, there's a, you know, a reformed Jew who has accepted Christianity. And if you – hey, listen – Brother Nathaniel makes us sound like tame little puppies. Brother Nathaniel will be on next week. And anyway, I'll see you the week after that. Tune in to the Cesspool next week. Another great show. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.